Blog Talk Radio.
Talking with us on Tuesdays about his overall
overall theme, healthy aging and lifelong learning. And then he also is the author of the book, Sexy at 60. And, you know, I talk about that book and the movie that he has that he's in the midst of making as we speak. I talk about it almost every day because every day I get closer and closer to 60. I paused on that, Terry. I thought you laughed.
I like that.
And then I meet people every day that are 60 plus or folks who are on their way to 62. How about that? And so these are life principles. These are principles. I mean, I see Terry, you know, Terry very, very soon will be sitting talking with national television. They're going to bring him on, and this is coming very fast. So I'm staking my claim right now. I'm going. Yes, Terry, I know you have an awesome topic for us, as you do each and every week, talking about different aspects of this developing ourselves and keeping ourselves in shape, preparing for this great life that we so talk to us today about.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. And it's so funny because, again, everybody's moving towards 60 and 60 and beyond, because the longer you live, the more chance you have to reach that particular landmark. And the Sexy at 60 project, really, I see it as a movement. I see it as a situation worldwide. I see people thinking about becoming sexy at 60. But again, when I say sexy at 60, I mean, you really have to do it before you become 60. And you have to start somewhere. And today, what I want to speak about is really important. I really hope that we get some callers to call in, because I think one of the things about success is that you can talk about it. You can talk about it all day, every day, but it means nothing unless you put some action behind it. And today's theme really is walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Because so many people want to talk about what they are going to do, how they're going to do it, but they never do it. And I want to start with a quotation. This is from Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said, "The secret of getting ahead is getting started. The secret of getting started is breaking your complex, overwhelming task into small, manageable tasks and then starting on the first one." Too many people, if I had a dollar for all the people who told me they wanted to write a book, I would be a millionaire. Because for some reason, I guess because you and I have done this book writing thing many, many times, people think it's easy. They think that anybody can sit down and write a book, and it's just not true. I mean, you can write a book, but you have to be committed to it. A lot of people are interested in success, but they're not committed to success. They want to get the fruit, but they don't want to plant the seed. And again, like I said, you know, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. And unless you actually put these things into action, it's not going to happen. So I think the first thing is really understand the fundamentals of success. And one of the fundamentals of success is to do what you say you're going to do. And sometimes it's easy to say it and not do it, because many times if you say it to yourself, nobody's watching. That's why many times when people are in the process of losing weight, they tell their friends and their family. And again, that gives them somebody to hold them accountable. I mean, because again, once you say you're going to do it and people are looking at you, you want to do something at least that moves in that direction. But unless you're really serious about losing the weight, it just won't come off. So it's not so much just talking about it, but it's doing. Because we can talk about it, but if we don't do it, it's not going to happen. And I always say that success leaves clues. Everybody who is successful, they have a story. They have a story to tell. They have a testimony that we need to plug into it, whether we listen to their audio books or listen to books, read their books or whatever it is. You have to understand that it is going to be a situation where, you know, we have to move beyond what we say we're going to do into action. And one of the things I think that hold people back is fear. And when I say fear, I think of what Les Brown says. He said that fear is false expectations appearing real. A lot of us are fearful of success because we keep on thinking that it's going to change in ways that we cannot handle. I mean, that's the furthest thing from the truth, because I find that once you plant the seed, once you plant the dream, you expand to fulfill that dream. I don't think God would give us anything that we need to do and not give us a way to do it. I think a lot of people have to understand that, you know, we have these thoughts, we have these feelings because there's something that triggers them in our experience. And that's why I like magazines so much, because although it's Ebony magazine, although it's Upscale magazine, although it's Vibe or Source magazine, every month they have to reinvent themselves, which means it's the same magazine, but they take it to another level. And I think that we as people, especially we as successful people, have to understand that we're in a constant state of reinvention. And we can't wait. We can't keep on waiting for the right time, because there never is right time. As with Abraham Lincoln, who said, things may come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle.
Mm.
So if you are left over from somebody who's doing something, you just wait. You keep on waiting, waiting for the right time, waiting for the right moment, waiting for the right person. And you're going to find out what you get is the leftovers, and sometimes those leftovers are not so sweet. So you have to really make sure that, you know, you decide what you want to do and you move to what you want to. And that's why, you know, I think your program is so important, because I think sometimes people have all the things that they need. They have all the talents. They have all the abilities. They have all the passion and desire and drive. But the one thing they lack is a coach or a mentor. And I think that to walk the walk, you have to walk it with somebody who's been there before. I mean, if you want to go to California, you can't go with somebody who's never been there. You need to go with somebody who's been there so they can tell you how to get there. If they don't know how to get there, it's like they said, you know, the blind leading the blind. You know, we have so many things that we need to do, but I don't care who you are, you're still the mentors. And my mentors, for me, are people like yourself, but also people that I read in books. Like, for example, Dr. Wayne Dyer is one of my greatest mentors. I never met the man, but I read all his books. I digest his books. I listened to his radio program on Hay House Radio. And one thing I love about him, and one thing that I always tell people, that he said in one of his books, he said that when you believe it, you'll see it. And when you believe it, you'll see it. A lot of people don't believe because they can't see, but when you believe it, when you start to believe that you can become successful, that your success can be massive, you will see that. I know in my particular experience, I've done a lot of things in my life, a lot of things that I didn't think too much about. But when I started doing it, I found that, you know, again, it's a law of attraction. I would attract circumstances, people, books, films into my life that would help me make this thing happen. And one last thing that I want to say is that a lot of times I think a lot of people just live life too casually. You know, Jim Rohn said, you know, if you live life too casually, you become a casualty. So he said, look, you got to get busy. And my whole thing about that is I say, you know, it's an emergency, okay? It's an emergency. And what I mean by that is to emerge with urgency. Because one of the things about being 60, in my case, being 61, you realize that you don't have a whole lot of time left. So you have no time to waste time, and you have no time to just to talk about something. You really got to be about something. And that's why we need to find our purpose. And once we find our purpose, to start moving to that purpose with urgency, okay? Not just sitting down waiting for something to happen, because, again, that's not the way life is. Life is for those who are living. So many people are sitting around and waiting for something to happen for what they're doing, and really the sad thing about it is that they're not living their life. They're not living their life and fulfilling their purpose. Like Les Brown says, you know, you have a choice. You can live your dreams or live your fears. And that's what keeps on holding us back, that fear of failure, that fear of success, that fear that life is going to be so unmanageable that we won't be able to control it. But, you know, that's not the thing to worry about. The thing is that, you know, you put on your seatbelt and you take that drive and you find yourself in a situation where you can control it, because you know more so than anybody else what you want to do. And the last thing that I want to say is that it comes down to your willpower, okay, is what you will, your willpower. I mean, a lot of people, I told everybody when I was coming up at 9 years old, I told my mother, I want to be a writer. And I didn't know exactly what that was, but I knew that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to see my books in the library. I wanted to see my books on shelves. I wanted people to buy my books. I wanted to be able to sign my books and those kind of things. And what I found out was that you have to study the best writers that you can find. That's why I was always in the library. That's even today. I mean, I make it a habit in my book bag. And then when I travel, I make sure I have a fiction book and a nonfiction book. The fiction books is for dreams. The nonfiction book is reality. But the thing is that you combine your dreams with your reality and you have your purpose. I told you before the last show that my purpose was to empower, to educate, and to entertain. And every day I try to do something in that area. What I'm teaching is easy to do, but sometimes when I'm not teaching, when I'm reading something, it helps me to become empowered. When I'm reading something, it helps me to become more educated. When I'm reading something, it helps me become more entertaining, because the thing, again, when you're on that public speaking circuit, people expect you to be entertaining, and that's rightfully so, but it's not just your speech, it's also the way you dress, your gestures, your jokes, your insights, whatever it is you have to bring to that particular situation, and people appreciate it, especially when they realize that what you're speaking of is not so much for yourself, but it's for them, because I think people really respond to people who want to help them. That's why I think in the final analysis, no matter how successful you are, you have to give back, because I know for myself as well as you, I mean, I stand on the shoulders of giants. People have come before me who have put into me things that I share, like my mother and my father, my sister, my brother, my wife, my children. All these people have given me something and making me want to live and be a better person. So I think, again, it's about walking the walk and not just talking the talk.
Oh, yes. So true. Wow, that's so critical. All that you were saying, basically, we have a work to do. We have gifts. We have skills. We have dreams. Some of us may have forgotten them. Some of they have had our dreams, you know, pushed so deep within us that we can't even find them anymore.
Yeah.
Some of them have forgotten that we've had them because of life's traumas and tragedies that have happened to us and caused us to have to focus on immediate problems one after another. You see, but like you said, Terry, sometimes you need to step out of the box, get out of your comfort zone, and get a coach, get someone to work with you that can help you find your way back to your dreams. You know, I tell people with coaching, I'm not here to tell you what to do with your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to help you discover and decide what you want to do with your life.
That's true. And you know, it's funny, Lisa, one of the things, I had a epiphany not too long ago, and I was thinking about why people are not successful. And one of the things I realized is that a lot of times we, and I know when I was in school, they want you to be well-rounded. They want you to be well-rounded in many different areas. And I found out for myself, and I found out for people who are very massively successful, they're not that well-rounded. I mean, basically, they know what their strengths are, and they move within their strengths. You know, I know for myself, when I was in school, I was terrible in mathematics. I was terrible in mathematics, but first of all, I would avoid mathematics. And secondly, I wouldn't really get the help that I needed. And so consequently, I got worse and worse in math. And I was stronger, like if I had a class where I had to do an essay or do a research paper, those were the classes that I excelled in. And they always told me, you really have to learn the math, and you have to learn the math. And I really listened to that, but I was thinking that, you know what, I'm not interested in that. And I found now in my epiphany, my aha moment was when I realized that, you know what, you really need to move from strength to strength. Whatever your strength is, build on that. I mean, there's some things you're not going to be good at. Let's understand that, okay? But you build on your strength. That's why a lot of times people in companies, they get promotions, and they get promoted out of a job. Because what happens is that as they rise up the ladder, they rise to the point where really their skills are not adequate for their job. And consequently, they fail. And when they fail, everything sort of falls apart. And sometimes, you know, you really have to stay where you are and be the best at that. I think what we need to do, I think the first principle of success is to find your genius. Find the thing that you're good. Find the thing that is easy for you but hard for other people. Not to sit here in my office and I can write, I can be creative for 8 hours just in this particular office, writing things that I want to write, things that I think about, things that are important to me. But again, there may be other things that I'm not so good at. And the thing is that, you know, a lot of times we waste our genius trying to cover everything, and we can't cover everything. That's why I believe you have to understand what your limitations are. Like my wife, you know, we have a house, and it's a pretty big house, and a lot of things my wife wants done in the house. I'm not a handyman. She gives me a honey-do list, and I give it to my brother, who is a handyman. And I watch him do his thing. I know my limitations. Now, I can do it, but it would take me so long. That's why it's best for me to delegate it to someone else. That way, I'm doing what I do, they do what they do, and that's it. I remember one time when I was working for a newspaper called the Plainfield Challenge, and the woman, Jan Johnson, Henry Johnson, had this particular newspaper. This is when I was assistant director of the Plainfield campus of Union County College. And they asked me to be a part of their staff to work with them in the newspaper. And I said, well, look, I can write different articles about different things. They said, no, we don't want you to do that. Anybody could do that. What we want you to do, we want you to write, you know, about hip-hop culture. And we want you to do a weekly column. Every week I had to reach out to, at this particular time, this was around 1986, 87, reach out to hip-hop producers and rap artists and that kind of stuff. And so every week I would do a column on rap music. And that was special. That was special to the newspaper. That was special to me. And I could have done the other general reporter type duties, but like she said, you know, they didn't hire me for that. They hired me for something very specific. And I think a lot of us, we need to really sort of focus on that specific thing, find our genius. I know my genius is writing and reading and inspiring people. And I can do other things in my life, of course, but if I stay within my realm of genius, I can do amazing things because this is my strength, and I'm moving from strength to strength. I'm not moving from weakness to weakness or trying to do everything. And again, as I see genius is really just your combination of strengths, okay? What you do best is where you find your genius. You can't find your genius trying to delve in areas that you're really not good at. You know, I mean, I'm sure if I sat down and I really studied and got my math thing together, I'd probably be very good at it, but I would never be great at it. And so that's the thing. I think, you know, at my age, you know, I'm not concerned about being good. As right now, I'm reaching for my greatness because I know at 61, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, I may not make it to 70 or 80 or 90, but I know right now is that in the present moment, I'm really in my zone. And I think when you find your genius, you'll find that whatever you do, it seems like work. Let's understand, and you know, Lisa, I know writing a book is hard work. But you don't mind doing it because you're in that zone. And I know when I'm in that zone, I mean, hours just seem to fly by. You know, I sit down in the morning and I look up and it's 12 o'clock. But I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning working on my book. And then, wow, you know, where did the time go? But the thing is to be in that zone. Like everybody talking about Michael Jordan being the greatest basketball player of all time. And that's true. But you remember when Michael decided he wanted to be a baseball player? Okay.
Yes.
He did it, but you know he never became as great as he did in basketball. Okay. I mean he could do it. I mean as a matter of fact he did it because that was you know when his father had died that was one of the things that he had promised himself that he would do this for his father, and he was at best a good baseball player, but he wasn't a great baseball player. So he went back to basketball, where he had, where it was his area of genius. And so he went back to area of genius, and guess what? You know, he won more NBA championships. He would never do that in baseball. And so, again, we have to understand that once we find an area of genius, you want to stay in that, and you want to do as much you can in the area of genius because that's where you find your greatness. And, again, I'm the type of person, if I never become as great as I know that I can be, but at least I try, at least I know that the journey, I met so many great people, I had so many great opportunities. I mean, the opportunities I have now to work with you on the radio was none that I really thought about it, but I know that it is in my area of genius. I mean, this is what I do. I would do this no matter what.
And the thing and, you know, is that, and it's so, yeah, and it's so funny because we started out in me working with you on your magazine, Coming Correct.
Yes.
And I remember one of the persons that you were very involved with was the woman from CD 101.9.
Yes, Pat Prescott.
Exactly. And I remember you telling me about, you know, Pat Prescott and how she was going to be part of this magazine as well, and you were doing an interview on her.
Of course.
And you told me about
the thing with the magazine, and although, like I said, you know, we did a couple of issues, but, you know, it didn't really take off the way that I expected it to. But the thing is, I realize now, you know, you can still go back to that because now
exactly.
I think what you're doing, basically, I see what you're doing. I see your program as a magazine. I mean, because every day you have to reinvent yourself. Every day it's still the Costa Lisa show.
Wow.
But, again, it's different. It's different because, you know, it's input, you know?
Yeah, and I worked with you for that short time on that magazine. And ever since then, I know I've been trying to get back to publishing a magazine. But there was always that fear that, who are you? You know, you're from the ghettos of Cincinnati. You're from the Millville Projects. Hello.
Yeah.
Who are you to do a magazine? Yeah, you can do radio, Lisa. That's because you can talk. So it's talk radio. But you can't do a magazine. You flunked out of high school, so there's always that little. But I like how God plants people in your life. So he planted you in my life to bring up, to birth this thing out. And that's what you're talking about. We are planters, and for others, sometimes we're the water, you know, sometimes we're the actual seed. Nonetheless, he said some plant, some water, but God has the increase. And so right now, you planted and water because you planted this seed in me back then to almost 20 years ago when you allowed me to work with you on your magazine. And now...
Yeah, now you're a host of your own radio show, but I think, again, like I said, I think we have to be flexible, and now I'm looking at it, you know, my whole thing, my vision now is to actually do a video magazine.
Wow.
You know, because, again, I mean, you have to understand a lot of things are maybe sort of outdated, because even the biggest magazines like Ebony and Jet and whatnot, we realize that in the final analysis that magazines are really successful because of the advertisers. As a matter of fact, you look at magazines, you look at newspapers, you find that most of the time they give the newspaper away because the advertisers pay for the newspaper. And what happens is that it comes down to sponsors. And I know for myself and you as well, you know, we do these programs and whatnot, but it's good to have sponsors because the sponsors are really what pay to keep the program on the air. The sponsors are the ones who pay for the time. I think what's going to happen, and I really see this as the vision for you and I and other what I call progressive people, again, I see us coming together and doing projects where we pool our resources because nobody has a monopoly on resources. Everybody has something to bring to the table. I think we're living in an age where we have the means of production. We can do anything that we want in the media area. All we have to do is get the right people together. And I think what happens is that once those people come together and they see how we can also profit from it, there's no problem. I think, again, it goes back to this theme of today's program, walk the walk. Just don't talk the talk. You know, we have to have action plans. You know, again, you know, it's so funny when you talk about action. So a lot of people shy away from that because we like to talk. We like to have meetings and we like to enjoy each other's company, which is great. It's always a good thing. But the thing is that we have to move beyond that. We have to take action plans. And one of the things that I talk about on this program and talk about in my class is the fact that, you know, living well is to look at the most important areas of our life and do work in that area. For example, I look at it in terms of like four things. Okay, I think that we need to look at the emotional aspects of our life, the physical aspects of our life, the financial aspects of our life, and the spiritual aspects of our life. And the financial aspect of our life is so much important now because I was went to a men's retreat not too long ago, and one of the speakers was Buster Soares. You know, he is a pastor, a public speaker, and he wrote a book, and the book is entitled Be Free, Breaking Free of Financial Slavery. And the first thing he says is get rid of those credit cards. Now, people have been saying that for a long, long time, but in his books, he shows us how to break away from that financial slavery and how to make the most of what we have because we all have resources. I think what happens is many times we don't use our resources well. You know, I mean, when people talk about being a millionaire, I'm sure I've been a millionaire many times over, okay?
Wow.
Because a lot of money has gone through my hands, you know, in many different ways, and some of it I use wisely, some of it I use foolishly, you know, some of it I wasted, some I invested in good projects. But the thing is that, you know, being a millionaire, anybody can be a millionaire. Now we're talking about becoming billionaires. We come and talk about becoming trillionaires. You know, what's $1 trillion? I mean, how can we measure? What would $1 trillion look like? You would have filled a room. How many rooms would it fill? But the thing is that people are moving towards that because, again, becoming a millionaire is no big thing in a billionaire. You know, again, a trillionaire. So I think, again, is that we have to understand that the sign of the times is that people are moving ahead. People are moving ahead in their dreams, but there are also some people who are not moving ahead. I mean, you know, not everybody is doing good, but then not everybody is doing bad. And I don't know about you, but I think I like to be with those people who are doing good and maybe even going towards better. Because one of the things I think that we talk about on this program is that you can live a ordinary life or you can live an extraordinary life. And I think, again, the people who tune into this show and also shows like this, I mean, there's a lot of shows like this, but there are people who want more out of life. They don't want just ordinary life. They want an extraordinary life. But the thing is that if you want the extraordinary life, you have to go, you have to take that extra step, okay? You know, it's not crowded on the room to the top because most people give up before they get there. They get tired. They sort of, you know, they get into their 60s and they want to sort of slow down. But you know what? It's just so funny because I know for myself, that because of my financials are pretty good, I have a lot more freedom than I ever had. And so I can spend time working on my physical and my emotional and my spiritual and keep all these things in the proper alignment and the proper perspective so I'm not running around trying to put out fires. I'm not running around trying to make up for what that I don't have because, you know, I keep myself pretty well balanced. You know, I have a lot of highs, a lot of lows. I like to keep things steady. Because, again, if it's too high, you know, it's a problem. If it's too low, it's a problem. You want to keep right in the middle. You want to keep steady. Because, again, my belief is it's steady as you go. You know, you never stop moving. You keep on going. You keep on going. A lot of people, they stop. If you feel like, for example, Les Brown is a good example of that. Here's a man who had a lot of success in his public speaking. He got into books. And then he had a TV show. Well, TV show didn't work out too well. Again, he moved from his area of genius into something that really wasn't him. I mean, he's not Jerry Springer. He's not Maury Povich. That's not the kind of show that he wanted. But this was the kind of show that people were actually yearning for at that particular time. So make a long story short, he failed in this endeavor. And what he did, he said he took himself out of the picture. He put himself on the sidelines, let life pass him by until people started asking, where's Les Brown? What happened to Les Brown? But then he said, well, you know, he sort of rejuvenated himself. He got back in the game. And then he started public speaking. He started training speakers. He started writing more books. He started his own publishing company. He started, as a matter of fact, he started working on the Internet. He has now he has a Les Brown page, you know. that you can go to get information. But then he had a bout with prostate cancer. So he had to deal with that. He had to take himself out to deal with that. But now he's back and stronger than ever. And my
he also had that bout with the marriage situation.
Well, that's the thing, right. You know, again, yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is that life does knock us down, but the thing is that you don't stay down. You know, I mean, everybody has ups and downs. The thing is, you don't stay down. If some people want to stay down, they want to take failure and wrap around themselves and moan and have a pity party and invite all their friends and families. But I'm not coming. I'm not interested in that. I mean, I know we fall down, but we get up. And one thing I like about Les Brown, he said, you know what? If you fall down on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up.
Exactly.
And that's the truth, because, you know, and I like what Willie Jolly says. Willie Jolly, another speaker, was really inspired by Les Brown. As a matter of fact, Willie Jolly used to travel around with Les Brown and Gladys Knight. They had this program where Willie Jolly would open up the program, and then Gladys Knight would come and sing, and then Les would finish with a motivational speech. And one of the things that Willie Jolly says in one of his books is entitled, "A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback."
I love that.
So again, I mean, and the thing is, I tell my kids all the time, you know what? If you never fail, then that tells that you never tried anything. Okay, other people who don't fail are people who don't do anything. But then again, they don't get anything either.
Well, we're going to just take just a little pause here for a second, and just to let people know that the phone lines are open. If you would like to pose a question for Terry Benjamin, you can call or comment. Area code 347-945-7991. Or if you are in the chat room, you can feel free to type in a question, and I will read it on the air for Terry to address. But we are listening to Terry Benjamin. He's the author, professor, publisher. He's a father, movie writer, playwright, movie maker, movie producer, I should say. He's an actor. He's just doing so many. He's a researcher. He's a writer, and you know, professor, public speaker, trainer. He teaches public speaking classes. Teaches people all the caveats of public speaking, all the tools and the traits that you would need to be a great public speaker. Also, for years, he retired in this profession as a college admissions director. You can't get any better than that. So he can get you into college. He can help keep you there. He can tell you what to do when you graduate. I mean, listen, you got to, that's it. four parts, because he can come to your high school and encourage your youth on how to get through school. He also was a part of the EOF department and the EOF organization. So he has many, many, many talents and gifts, and he's here to share them. So if you call the phones, just raise your hand by hitting your number one key. And therefore, I will recognize that you want to ask a question for Mr. Benjamin. But Mr. Benjamin, I have a question while we're waiting for people
yes,
to.
Yes, of course.
And we realize, and I certainly realize, that a lot of people are in the chat room and they're signed in as guests. You know, it's not that your topic is threatening or anything, sexy at 60, but there are people who are shy when it comes to these kinds of questions, especially in the United States.
Yes.
And one of the reasons why this is so big, what you're doing, because it is not a well-talked-about topic. People, they think that, you know, being sexy, sometimes it's inappropriate, whatever they think. And sometimes they're going to just grow old, and all of a sudden they're going to keep their bodies and keep their minds and that doesn't happen. So we can see that, and that's why we need to talk about it, so that it can happen. But a lot of times we don't get a lot of calls and questions on topics like this. Now, if you were talking about how to get $1 million by next week, Yeah, because people like to get money and they like to think they can get it fast, Terry.
Okay.
But as you and I know, that's no such thing. The lottery has more money than all the people that play the lottery. So here's
right,
the
right.
thing. So here, but want to, from what we'll just start, what I'll start doing probably is also allowing people to inbox me their questions on Facebook and other places. I know people do have questions health-wise, mentally, how to stay vibrant, how to be resilient, you know, in this life. So, but I have a question. So as we're walking the walk and talking the talk, can you just, you know, tell me some, you know, what should I be doing? I mean, I hear that term a lot, you know, don't just talk the talk, you got to walk the walk.
Well, what I mean by this is simply this, okay? When I say walk the walk, I mean that you have dreams. You have things that you want to do. And the thing is that to find out how it can be done. And I just want to answer your question by giving you three things, okay? Three things that you need to do to actually walk the walk, okay? Number one, okay? And this is key, okay? Walk the walk. Number one, seek out a teacher, coach, mentor, a manual, book, or audio program, or internet resource to help you achieve one of your major goals, okay? Get that teacher, get that coach, get that mentor. You need it. Number two, seek out someone who has already done what you want to do and ask that person if you can interview them for an hour and a half or just shadow them, means they'll spend a day with them, go to their job, just walk around with them and see what they do. And number three, ask someone if you can be their assistant for a day. Be their assistant, be the intern, be someone who is there on the scene. I think a lot of people are afraid to really do the things that need to be done because we keep on thinking that we're going to be embarrassed, that we're going to be out of our comfort zone. And I tell you, boy, there are some people, they are so afraid of the unknown that they don't even see what can be done. You know, and it's so funny. You know, I go back to Mark Twain. He said here, and I really love this quotation. He says here, I have lived a long life and had many troubles, most of which never happened. Let me say it again. I have lived a long life and had many troubles, most of which never happened. Sometimes we have fear about something that will never happen. You go to the doctor, and because you've been watching all these medical shows, you know it's cancer. You just know it. I don't care what he says. I know I have cancer. So, doctor, I'm just coming to you because I know what it is, but I just want you, because you have this expertise in this field, tell me, doctor, I know what it is. Tell me that I have cancer. He says, no, you don't have cancer. What you need to do is start eating right, okay, because, you know, you're all backed up and whatnot because you need more fiber in your diet. You need to drink more water. You need to exercise more. That's all you need to do. Now, you have a sigh of relief, but for that whole week you spent worrying about having cancer and knowing that you had cancer, when that was the furthest thing from the truth. But so many people put in their mind that I can't be the success that I want to be because it's not for me. Like you said, you know, I'm not that kind of person. Bob Proctor, another one of my mentors, he said this, was, I think it's kind of interesting. He said, you know what? We come this way but once. We can either tick toes through life and hope that we get to death without being too badly bruised, or we can live a full, complete life, achieving our goals and realizing our wildest dreams. Some people are here in their 60s just waiting to die. You know, they don't want to do anything to mess that up. They're just here waiting to die. And the thing that's so sad about it, if you
that's
do
sad,
nothing
too.
Now, if you say, well, you know what, in the next 5 years I'm going to do nothing, why don't you say, well, look, in the next 5 years I'm going to do something, because whether you do something or whether you do nothing, those 5 years will pass. And I tell you, Lisa, from my own personal experience, after the 30s, it seems like time accelerates, because one day I was 30, the next day I was 40, now I was 50, I messed around, and now I'm 60. I mean,
well,
I'm going, next week I'll be 70.
Well, listen, I tell you what, thing, you're going to have a lot done by the time you hit. Harry, okay, here's another question. All right. You've done a lot of research, and I give kudos to all of you researchers because, you know, us practitioners, we need you researchers. We can't practice without y'all's research. So my hat.
Yeah, right, right.
Love you. That's one thing they taught me in my PhD program. Love you researchers because, hey, we need y'all desperately. But the thing, and, you know, and I attribute, you know, even being able to say I'm working on a PhD. People like yourself, because when I hit the college, people like you and other leaders there who were also working on your advanced degrees and what have you, inspired a high school dropout from the ghettos of Cincinnati. So whatever you do, Terry, please don't stop.
I'm the type of person, if I don't do what I'm doing, then I won't have anything to do. I mean, like, he's going to the playground, and instead of playing with other kids, he's sitting on the sidelines. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I refuse to sit on the sidelines. As a matter of fact, I believe that the older you get, the better you get.
Exactly.
That's my philosophy.
And here's my question. So what do you do? What is the research show, or is it?
Yeah.
What really is going on when you find people, and I'm talking people even in their 20s and 30s or what have you.
Of course.
What's really going on with people, especially the younger ones, but in that they don't want to do nothing. What is really going on with these people from your point of view?
Well, from my perspective, also from the research shows that people don't thrive because of fear. It could be fear of failure, but it also could be fear of success. A quick story. I met this young lady some time ago who was very talented, you know, and she was living in the projects. Nothing wrong with that. And when it happened, she lived in the projects, and basically it was a generational thing. She, again, was raised in the projects on welfare. My mother's mother was on welfare, and so she was on welfare. It wasn't like three generations on welfare. Now, she had an opportunity to break the cycle if she went for this job interview. A job interview where she would be a receptionist, be making a lot more money because of the projects. Make a long story short, she decided not to go to the interview because she was afraid of what would happen. First of all, she felt that she would be making more money, so her friends and relatives would think that she felt that she was too good or too cute. She would probably have to move out of the projects, which means that she would be in another social environment. And so what happens for many, many people, too many people, they let the fear of failure or fear of success hold them back because, you know what, again, we talk about that comfort zone. People get in that comfort zone, and they don't grow. And what happens is that for many of us, too many of us, we like routine. We like things to be the same every day. We want to have the same breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We want to have the same activities. We don't want to shake things up. And maybe we might shake them up on the weekend, but never during the week. That's why I like Joe Austin's new book where he says, every day of Friday, people really get happy around Friday because they're looking for the weekend. So what they have to endure during the week is okay because they have the weekend. But what if we change it around? What if we made every day of Friday? One of the things I did for myself when I was making a little bit of money, I mean, I used to always like to go to Broadway shows, and I would always go to Broadway shows on maybe a Saturday or a Sunday. But I knew that I had made some type of change in my thinking, in my way of life, and I was shaking things up because at least I went to a Wednesday matinee. And it seems like it's such a small thing, but it changed my life. And it says that, you know what, I can go to a Broadway show on Wednesday in the afternoon and enjoy that show and have dinner afterwards and enjoy myself in that way. I don't have to wait till Saturday or Sunday. A lot of times, this research shows that too many people wait for the perfect time. When I started my publishing company, me and Tobias, we had no money whatsoever. We used to meet in McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and those kind of places where and sit and plan and put things on paper. And the thing is that we didn't even publish our first book until 2 years after we had the company because we were studying the market. We were studying what books people like to read, what covers they like to look at, what kind of back copy was on the back of the book. So we studied for 2 years before we published any books. And the first book we published was a book I had written some time ago, but we rewrote the book together, and we published it. It was our first title, and basically our only thing was to put out the money to publish that book, but our success would be based on the fact that we can make enough money from that first book to publish the next book. Now, we at this particular point, we published 3 books that we wrote together, and then we have recently published 2 books by 2 new authors. And so now we have 5 books from our publishing company, and we plan to do more. But the thing is that you have to start somewhere, and you can't wait for the optimum time, the perfect time, because there is no perfect time. Sometimes you just got to jump into it and just pray to God that you can do what you need to do to become successful. Our plan was to get that first book out, to pay for the second book, to pay for the next book, and go on from there. And that's still been our basic business model, but now we're branching out into other areas as well. But my point is, we started with that first book, and we didn't look back. And now we're 5 books into the company, and we have a plan to do 5 more books in the coming year. But it starts with the idea that, you know what, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to grow. Because there's one quote that's anonymous. It says that, you know, again, when we come to the edge of the mountain and we realize that we have to jump off, there's one or two things that are going to happen. Number one, we're going to go to the bottom and kill ourselves. Or number two, we're going to learn how to fly. And that was the second thing, because when you jump off that mountain, you will learn how to fly. Because then, now it's a question of survival. And I think, at 60 and at 60 plus and whatnot, we realize that, you know what, time is really short. And I tell you, I know for myself that time is more precious when there's less of it. And that's what I'm saying. For many of us, the research shows that, you know what, you get better as you get older because you know how to dress. You know how to dress, you know how to groom yourself. You know how to present yourself in the best possible way. Because you had experience.
Yes. Well, you're talking some good stuff, and one of our listeners actually did type on Facebook and said that she's getting a lot out of the show.
She's glued.
She's listening via her iPad. She's glued to her iPad. So.
That's beautiful.
That is. So yes, just know that you are helping to make the Coach Lalisa Show popular, because people are tuning in on Tuesday. So I really appreciate you, Terry Benjamin. And, you know, the time goes by so
quickly. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. Because one thing, Lisa, that I realize as a teacher, you realize yourself. You know, I always tell my students, you know, and it's funny because I tell them about this. I was in a Chinese restaurant one day, and I was reading my fortune cookie, you know. And it says something I never forget. And it says here, he who teaches learns twice. And so the thing is that, you know, I don't know what the people are getting out of this, audience are getting out of that. I don't know. You know, I hope that they're getting as much as I get. But you know what? I get a double portion because I'm teaching it. So I learn twice. So whatever I give to them, whatever I give to you and your audience, I get twice. And so when I finish this program, I'm always amazed at how fast it goes. But I'm always so encouraged. I'm encouraged twice. And so when I finish with you, I'm ready to start my day because, you know what, I'm pumped up. I'm motivated. I'm ready to go to the next level. But the thing is that, you know, I really like the fact that you encourage me to share my books with you, because the thing is I know I'm a pretty intelligent person, but you know what? It doesn't make any difference, because I tell my students, you know, you need to speak with reference. When I say speak with reference, is that you speak from what you read. And there's one last thing I want to say about success real quick, and this is from Willie Jolly. I said there are 5 steps to success, 5 steps. I'll probably talk about this a little bit more the next time we meet. 5 steps to success. Number 1, wake up and dream. Number 2, show up. Number 3, stand up. Number 4, step up. And number 5, make up your mind to win.
Okay. Well, here's a question. So there's a question. A young lady can't call in. Her voice is really raspy. She's suffering from a cold. But she did type men. And here is the question. How do you really go about getting a mentor? She says she feels like she's stuck and seemingly can't move forward. She has so many things that she wants to do, but also there are very, very, very many obstacles. So, Terry, can you address that? And you have about 2 minutes.
Yes, I can. As a matter of fact, I can give you 2 things, okay? Coach Delisa, Terry Benjamin, reach out to us. I'm on Facebook. You know, you can get in touch with Lisa. She'll give you my my email. I'm about helping people. I'll be a mentor. I'll be a teacher. You have mentor. You have Lisa. You have myself. There's no excuse. If you're really serious about getting a mentor, you have one. You can call me. You can call Lisa. You know, we will help you because, again, we're all about helping because I know for myself, as well as Lisa, we're about giving back. I've been given too much. I've been given too much not to share. So you go to my Facebook. You inbox me. The mentoring can begin today.
Awesome. Perfect.
That's the easy answer. That's it, because I have so many things to share that, you know, obviously this hour every Tuesday is just not enough. I mean, I want to get into some really deep things. And so, again, any of your listeners who want the mentoring, you know, just email me or just hit me on Facebook. You know, go to my inbox, you know, let's begin the dialogue. Because, again, what I would like to do on this program is not do just so much a monologue, but I want a dialogue. I want a dialogue with like-minded people. I want a dialogue with people who want to be successful, but in a real way. I want the dialogue with people who walk the walk and just don't just talk the talk. I mean, let's walk the walk. Let's get out there and let's really make our dreams come true because they can.
They can. And on that note, we do have to end the show, but never ending the concept and what we've learned here today, success, it can happen for you. Obstacles can be removed. Fear can be overcome. You can master fear. You can overcome it. Whatever strategy you want to use, there's more than one. Terry Benjamin told you how you can connect with him. He's right there on Facebook. You can inbox him and say, I met you on the Coach Delisa show. He'll remember who you are, and we'll see you. He'll see you back here next Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And for some of you, Terry, I'm glad you mentioned that about coaching. As you know, I'm a life coach. I'm about to go and get my life coaching certification.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
But the company that I work for, they also do the they train us to then go for the certification. But until I can offer many coaching programs. So I have a coaching call that starts at 8 o'clock.
That's great.
Do the show over. But I will set up something else. I will inbox you for some times because we can bunk. We can do a two-hour show, just not at 7 a.m. But there's evening. There are evening hours, other times we can do a two-hour show. And you can invite people and you can we can do some real dialogue back.
Well, we'll talk about that because, again, I think we started something here that is good, you know, and I think in my whole thing, again, you know, for me, it's the attitude of excellence, you know, let's be the best that we can be, you know, let's not
settle
for mediocre, you know.
Take it where we can do the 2 hours. I'm looking. Well, I guess we'll be talking later then. Okay.
We will.
All right, Mr. Benjamin. Thank you so much. Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for those who will tune in to the archives. Thank you, Ms. Kiva Renee, for tuning in and for supporting over there in the chat room. Sorry if I didn't get to any of your questions. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Go out. Don't just talk the talk. Talk. Make it happen for you and someone else. And remember, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you.
Yes.
Well, be blessed. And again, Terry, have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Delisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth. with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coastal Lisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.